Here's a few questions that I got over the past few days. I'm going to address them all. And hopefully, you know, I want to get these guys on the phone, but it's getting late and I want to go home with my family. So what's going on? We're going to answer some of these things. One of the things about Terry Frisks, okay, and I think that a lot of people get confused. Matter of fact, even when you read case law and the stuff that we cite, you'll find that the Terry Frisks that we're talking about, a lot of guys are really confused with what a Terry Frisk is or a pat frisk for safety versus what a search when you have probable cause or incident arrest is. So guys, when you're Terry frisking somebody or a pat frisk for safety, one, you don't get it. I think it's State v. Lipinski off the top of my head. You don't need to write that down so I can make sure I add that to the notes when people search this. State v. Lipinski. State v. Lipinski. You can't just Terry frisk everybody that comes out of a car. Different states, yes, you can. New Jersey says no. There's got to be some kind of concern and reasonable suspicion that there is a somebody who's armed and dangerous or they could pose a safety threat. So when you're taking, I mean, I got to tell you, in my career, I can't recall legitimately how many times I pat frisked somebody for weapons, like on a legitimate level, and then found things. A couple, you know, and I was a very active, very proactive cop. So this is a pat frisk for weapons. You're doing a quick running your hands over the waistline and just making sure there's no guns or knives or anything. It's going to hurt you if you run across something and then all of a sudden you realize like it's a crack pipe and you immediately recognize that it's crack pipe, then you go and retrieve it, you make the arrest, and you get a person search and arrest. Now, when you have somebody with the odor of marijuana, it's not a pat frisk for safety. Like when you have weed, it's not a safety precaution to pat frisk people. So don't write it that way. You can search people when they smell like marijuana. You can arrest people when they smell like marijuana. And you have to search like incident to arrest. That's what you would do. You can go into pockets. You can check shoes. And if you have a supervisor who somebody has had this before where they were like, well, that's a strip search if you take off shoes. Like, no, it's not. Take 3 minutes. Stop watching Netflix, Sergeant Jones, and read the AG guideline on strip searches in the state of New Jersey and then get yourself familiar with it. Or you read it and then highlight and go, Sarge, it's not a strip and shoes off, not undergarments and all this other stuff. So that's the difference. A pat frisk for weapons, you have to believe that somebody's armed and dangerous. And then a search is not a pat frisk. If you're searching with the odor of marijuana, it's a search of a person. Okay. That's the first thing. That's the first question I got. Let's see this one. I'm going to try to do this without implicating anybody and having any other group member as people vent to me about their supervisors and their coworkers. I'm just going to reread it real quick. All right. How to stop today. Short version. Have all the RES for consent. Was granted. However, when I opened the trunk, the driver told us to stop. So gets consent. His RES gets consent. We did at this point call for a dog, which arrived. However, the sergeant, canine officer, hesitant to use the dog. Why? I have no idea. Personally, I don't think this changes anything because RES was already established. Of course, you called for a dog when you have reasonable suspicion. You're under suspicion that something's wrong. You're probably going to get narcotics hit. Just looking for some insight. Any case law that talks about this situation, I can't find any. Eventually, the dog was utilized. Nothing found. Just NCIC for the driver. Thanks in advance. Okay, so, the dog didn't indicate. There's case law. I mean, you could, when you have reasonable suspicion, the dog shows up. There's tons of it. I'll add it into here. Let me write it in my notes. Case law for canine. And when you can call it, cancel, Baum, all these places. Cancel, Baum. Those are all the cases. I'm going to put it up there. Canine case law. We'll add this into the literature of this post when we're done so you guys can reference it and you'll be able to read the cases for yourself and get a good feeling for what the mentality was behind the New Jersey Supreme Court or the federal U.S. Supreme Court and what the ruling was. So, yeah, I mean, dog didn't indicate, but so on to the next one. Dennis, I commented a few days ago on the stops for out-of-state vehicles on NJ Title 39 offenses. Now, if the stop is good, is the summons good as well? And when? When is your next class? Well, no problem. And I said, hey, I'm going to do a video on it. I didn't get to it. I'm sorry. I was going to call you. And I don't want to say your name. You know who you are because you asked this question. And he said, also watching one of your videos, you mentioned that the driver not knowing social security number for hindering a possible warrant. Had a situation the other day like this. If a guy doesn't know social security number, has a DL, but wasn't sure it was him. Guy grew a beard. No beard on a DL photo. Knew the rest of his info, though. Still seemed off. Where would you go from there? Okay. First question. In state v. Forgione, which I'm going to put up the wording of it. I'm going to retouch into this tomorrow. I'm going to break down the case. I'm going to write that here, Forgione. I'm going to break it down really of what happened in that case. And the courts actually did not address whether or not you could issue a summons for an out-of-state vehicle. And I think it really depends on, is the vehicle registered in Pennsylvania or Delaware and it's in New Jersey? You would ask questions along those lines of, you guys, well, if you establish it's in New Jersey, how do you establish? You ask questions. Hey, man, you have a New Jersey driver's license, but the vehicle's in your name in Delaware. Like, how long do you live here? How long have you lived here? Where's the vehicle primarily parked? You want to be tricky with those questions. You don't want to come direct because people start getting defensive on it. You want to be a little smooth about it. And that's how you would determine whether or not you would give somebody a vehicle that's technically a New Jersey vehicle. Secondly, the case says anything in Chapter 3 or Chapter 4, Title 39, with an out-of-state plate, you can stop the car. You don't have to be able to write a summons to justify the stop, okay? So I've had cases where I've stopped the car for out-of-state plate with a maintenance violation, maybe a license plate cover, and it's covering or blocking any imprinted, any marking on the plate in this state. I never wrote him a ticket. I didn't refer to case law. I just wrote, hey, who stopped for this? If it was questioned by a prosecutor or a defense attorney, I'd say, hey, Reed State versus 4GO, numbnuts. You know, so, and that would happen. Like, I'd have attorneys like, you can't stop this car from being out of state. Like, oh my God, did you pay for this guy? Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, have you read State v. 4GO from fucking 23 years ago? And they're like, okay, he's right. He could do this. So, you know, like, don't get caught up in the minor details. I know you want to do the job right, but just know that you don't have to be able to write the summons. If it makes you feel more comfortable to write the summons, then write the summons. You know, what's the court going to do? Dismiss it? You know, your finding for your stop is still good. Still probable cause to make the stop the vehicle. There's case law that has dictated us to have the ability to stop an out-of-state vehicle for maintenance violations. In State versus 4GO, you can read it. So I'll tap into this more tomorrow. I'm going to write a note there for that. And the second question is, the guy thinks he's hindering, doesn't know his social security number. Look, when you have somebody who is over the age of 18 and they're not a product of a low income environment, maybe somebody who's not from from an area that's a little more rundown, more urban environment, sometimes you'll find they won't know their social security numbers very, very infrequently. And if they're 18, that's kind of like the only thing I've ever run into. You got a guy who's 25, 30, like everybody knows their social. I would really, really go through the filtering process to make sure who I have is the guy who I have in the picture. And I would go into things like run his criminal history. Hey, you've been arrested. Have you been arrested before? No, I've never have. And now you've got a criminal history in front of you that says you've been arrested 7 times. Oh, yeah, I've been arrested. Okay, where and when? Go into your driver abstract. Hey, man, you ever get any tickets on this name? No, I never got any tickets. You never got tickets? And I would just throw them off for a loop. Hey, you ever get a ticket in Rawley for not wearing a seatbelt? Oh, yeah, I did. Well, doesn't say it on here. You know, I just switch it up on the guy a little bit, try to trip him up. Man, somebody doesn't know their social, man, really, really dig deep into make sure you have it. There's a lot of twins out there and a lot of brothers and sisters who look very close in what their facial features are. I know you haven't done a 2-day class. And that's something we go into. So just really, really go through the process of like checking the height, checking the skin tones, checking facial features, and going back into those things that maybe that only that person who truly is that person would know. Maybe Google their name, see if it comes up to anything. Just go through a long process to make sure that you actually have the guy with whom you're talking with. Because you know what? A lot of times you won't. So there's a good tip for you. All right. I think another 4GO question. I got 2 more questions, guys. I know it's a long video. Good stuff coming out. Maybe I should save these for tomorrow. Want to save these for tomorrow? All right, John and Mike Mudd, I'm going to get to your questions tomorrow. This video went long. I don't want to kill everybody with this. And we'll have good content for tomorrow. Actually, I've got 2 good questions tomorrow. I'll come back and answer the stuff I didn't answer today. Guys, if you have questions, send me a message. I do get busy at times. We have people calling. We've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm researching, building new courses. I will get back to you. You can, your best bet maybe to email me. If you don't hear back from me, my apologies. I'm saying like 99% of people hear back from me almost immediately. But if you don't, just remind me. I don't think I'm fancy. I'm just freaking busy. So any questions you have, anything I can clear up for you, whatever I can do for you, reach out to me. This will always be free content, and I just want everybody to begin to win. So have a good night.